We're doing Intro to Talmud. This is our third class. We mentioned last week that Rav Shri Raigon mentions the destruction of Beitar, or some pronounce it Beiter. And Rav Shri Raigon points to that as one of the periods when the sages were scattered. And he seems to say that all the sages backed Bar Kochva in Beitar. And we mentioned that this also seems to be the opinion of the Rambam, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to indicate differently. And before we continue, I want us to look a little bit at the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Jerusalem Talmud discusses the destruction of Beitar, and this isn't a well-known Gemara, so I figured if we don't do it here, we'll never do it. So I made photocopies. I don't know if we have enough. Whoever, it's double-sided. So whoever doesn't have a copy, look on with someone else. We're holding the Yerushalmi in Tanis. It's in the end of Tanis, the fourth chapter. This is Perek Dalid, Halacha, Hey. The Gemara tells us the following story. We're holding the side of the page that says Chaf Dalid, or page 47. And we're in the middle of the page. You'll see there's a star and the word Tani. On the right margin, on the right column, you have Ayin Yud and then Gittin Nun Zayin. You guys see it? There's a star, Tani Amar Rabbi Yehuda Ben Rabbi Eloi. Chaf Dalid Amar Aleph, yeah. Chaf Dalid, page 47. Tani, Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Eloi, Baruch Rabbi Ayodoresh. My Rabbi Baruch used to darshan the following verse. Hakol Kol Yaakov, we'll encounter in our parsha, the voice is the voice of Yaakov, Vayadayim Yidei Esav, and the hands are the hands of Esav. Koloshel Yaakov Tzoveach, Yitzchak foresaw the voice of Yaakov wailing, screaming, Mimashasulo Yidei Esav Bebeital, from that which the hands of Esav did to him in the city of Beital. Tani Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rashbi Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says the following quote, Akiva Rabbi Ayadoresh, Akiva my Rabbi used to darshin. The verse states, Darach Kochav mi Yaakov, Darach Kuzba mi Yaakov. Rabbi Akiva used to say, when the verse states that a star will come from Jacob, so Rabbi Akiva said, that's Kuzba, that's Bar Kochva, Bar Kuziva. Rabbi Akiva kadhavechami Bar Kuzba, when Rabbi Akiva used to see Bar Kochva, so Kuzba was his Hebrew name, Bar Kuzba, and Rabbi Akiva, on this verse that discusses a star from Yaakov, would call him Bar Kochva, son of the star, not Bar Kuzba. Hava Omar, so Rabbi Akiva, when he saw Bar Kochva, used to say, Deinu Malka Meshicha, this is the king, the Messiah. When Rabbi Akiva saw Bar Kochva, he was convinced that Bar Kochva would be the Messiah. Yeah.
Don't we have examples that we see that Bar Kochva wasn't very stringent on that? He would go against Allah, like with when he said that they had to cut the.
We'll get to that. Wait. Okay. This is the source. Now we're learning the source. Amale Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta. Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta said to Rabbi Akiva. Akiva, he said to him, Ya'alu al savim bilchayecha, your cheeks will grow grass, Vadain ben David lo yavo, and the Messiah won't come. I guarantee you that your cheeks could grow grass and the Messiah won't come, which could be understood like when hair will grow out of the palm of my hand. And it could also be understood that he was telling him, when you'll be buried 6 feet under, and grass will be growing out of your cheeks, even then the Messiah isn't coming so fast. I guarantee it. So Rabbi Yochanan Bar Torta said that to Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Adrianus Kesar Horeg Beveiter B'Shmonim Elef Ribo. When the verse states the voice of Jacob is yelling at the hands of Esav, that's the voice of Adrianus the Caesar that killed in Beitar 80,000. That's 80 million. אמר רבי יוחנן, 80,000 זוג שתוקי קרנות היו מקיפין את ביתר. Rav Yochanan tells us there were 80,000 pairs, meaning 160,000 soldiers whose job it was to blow horns surrounding the city of Beitar. V'chol echad ve'echad haya memuneh al kama chayalot. Each one was in charge of a few legions. V'haya sham ben Kuzva. Bar Kokhva was there. V'hayu lo 200,000 metifei etzba. He had 200,000 soldiers who had to show their bravery by biting off a finger. That was how they showed allegiance to Bar Kokhba. If they were brave enough to bite off their own finger, that... Why is it impossible to bite off your own finger? Shalchu Chachamim Amru Lo, our sages, when they heard he was doing this, and he had 200,000 Jews who had bitten off a finger to show their allegiance and bravery to Bar Kokhba, they said to him, Adei matai ta oset Yisrael balei mumin? To when will you cause Jews to be blemished? What are you doing? So he said, well, how will I check that they're brave enough, that they're strong enough? I need to know that I have the best soldiers. אמרו לו, כל מי שאינו רוכב על סוכו, על סוסו ועוקר ארז מן לבנון, לא יהיה נכתב בסטרטיה שלך. They told him, here's a different test. The person has to ride on his horse past a cedar tree growing, grab the tree and pluck it out of the ground as he's riding quickly on the horse. Whoever could do that, include him into your special legions, into your special forces. So he did that. Hayu lo 200,000 kach u-200,000 kach. He had 200,000 soldiers who had bitten off a finger. They were, that showed their bravery. And he had 200,000 soldiers who had plucked out a tree as they were riding by. V'chadava nafak likrava, when he'd go out to war, hava amar, he used to say, Ribone de olma, master of the world, lo tisod v'lo tichsof, don't help me and don't shame me. God, you leave us, don't join our wars, it's okay, leave it to the hands of nature, my soldiers are strong enough, God, don't interfere this way or that way. Adrianus the Caesar surrounded Beitar for 3.5 years. This war went on. And Rabbi Eliezer the Modai would sit in sack and in the dust and pray each day. Now Rabbi Eliezer HaModai was a great sage and he was Bar Kokhba's uncle. Ve'omer, Rabbi Eliezer HaModai used to say, Ribono Olamim, al teshev bedin hayom, al teshev bedin hayom. He'd sit and pray and he'd say, God, today don't judge us. Don't judge us today. So for 3.5 years, God accepted this prayer. Seems like he could have went on this way. Every day he'd say, today don't judge us. Ba Adrianus Mezale. Adrianus said, I'm going to go. I can't keep up here. I'm not winning, so I'll leave. Adrianus was about to leave. He saw he was losing, said, I'm going to go. Amar lechad kutai. One of the kutim said to him, lo tezelach, don't go. Da'ana chamim ha-me'evid, I see what he's doing, u'mashlim nach medinta. I'll turn over in peace the whole city to you. Watch, I'll help you succeed. Ale min biva de medinta. He went in through the sewers. He snuck in through the sewers, they wouldn't let him in through the gates. So this man snuck into Beitar through the sewers. Al v'ashkach Rabbi Eliezer HaModai kaim u'matzli. He came and he found Rabbi Eliezer HaModai standing and praying. Avad nafshel lachish bego udni. He made believe he was whispering into Rabbi Eliezer HaModai's ear. Now Rabbi Eliezer is praying, he's not interested in him. Chamune, they saw him, bnei medinta, the people of the city, v'aitu negave ben Kuzba. And they brought this man, they see a stranger who snuck into town, and they see him going over to this great sage and whispering into his ear something. So they grab him and they bring him to Bar Kokhba. They bring him to the general. Amrun lei, chamina nahun saba, they told him, we see this old man, mishtai lechavivach, talking to your uncle. Amar lei, ma amart lei, so he told this man, what'd you tell my uncle? Uma amar lachem, what did he tell you? Amar lei, so the kuti told him, ana amar lach, malka katali, if I tell you, the Caesar, the king will kill me. Ve'ilo ana amar lach, and if I don't tell you, at katil yati, you'll kill me. Tavli malka katil yati, better I die at the hands of the king. What do I care? Better if I'm going to die, I might as well die at the hands of a king. You're not a king yet. So if I don't tell you, you'll kill me. If I do tell you, the king will kill me. Fine, let the king kill me, I'll tell you. Velo at amale, velo at, and better the king kill me, not you. Amale.
Why does he refer to
Amale
in the
feminine? At doesn't always mean feminine in Aramaic. Amale, amali danana mashlim edintai. Your uncle told me that he's willing to help me turn over the whole city to make peace with your enemy. That's what your uncle told me. Now obviously this wasn't true, but he was trying to get Bar Kokhba to be upset at his uncle, because he knew that the success of the Jewish people in heading off Adrianus Caesar was the fact that this man was praying, Bar Kokhba's uncle. Ata gabei Rabbi Eliezer Amodei. So Bar Kokhba went to his uncle. Amale ma amar lach adin kutai. He told him, what this man tell you? Amale lo klum. Said he didn't tell me anything, which was the truth. Ma amart le. So Bar Kokhba asked him, what did you tell him? Amale lo klum. Said I didn't tell him anything. Yaiv le echad beut vekatle. Bar Kokhba gave him one kick and killed his uncle. Miyad yatzat bat kol v'amra. A heavenly voice right away came out and said, "Heveirai ha'elil ozvei hatzon, hoy roei ha'elil ozvei hatzon, cherev al zro'o v'al ein yemino, zro'o yivosh tivash v'ein yemino kahot ichhe." Quoting a verse from Zechariah, "Woe to those who watch over things that are false, that don't help them. They leave the sheep with their sword on their hand and they think they have everything covered with their right eye. Their hand will ultimately not work and their eye will dim. Haragtes Rav Lezer Hamodoi. You have killed Rav Lezer Hamodoi," the heavenly voice said, "Zo'an shel kol Yisrael. He is the one who was the real strength of the Jewish people, ve'en yeminam, in their right eye. Lefichach, therefore, zro'o shel oto ha'ish, your hand, yavesh tivash, will become dry, meaning it won't work. Ve'en yemino kotichen, your right eye will dim, won't work. Miyad, right away, nilkeda beitar. The city of Beitar was captured. Ve'ne'rag ben kazova. And now, doesn't call him son of a star, but son of the liar. Kazav is a lie. And Bar Kokhba was killed. They came and carried his head to Adrianus the Caesar. Amalon man kataladin. So Adrianus said, "Who killed him? Who killed this brave warrior?" Amal echad kutai anakatlte. So one man said, "I did it." Amali chamili petume. Said, "Okay, show me his carcass. If you killed him, I want to see the rest of the body." Chamili petume. So he showed him the rest of the body. Ashka chachina kruchana. Found a snake coiled around it. Amari lule lahad de katle. He said, "I knew you couldn't kill such a brave soldier. If not for the fact that God killed this man, mana veyachil katle, who could kill such a person?" Vekara alav imlochi tsuram mecharam v'Hashem hisgiram. If not for the fact that there's rock, God sold them over and Hashem gave them into our hands, we wouldn't have been successful. Vayu horgin bahem veolchim, and they were killing Jews and continuing to murder ad sheshaka hasus bedam. So their horses were drowning in blood. Ad chotmot, till their nose, they were drowning in blood. Vayadam migalgel slaim masuy arbaim se'ah, and the blood seeped into the ground and caused landslides, that boulders that weighed 40 saw, the size of a mikveh, were sliding down. Ad shalach adam b'yam arba'at mil, until you had the blood flowing to the sea, the distance of 4 mil. If you have 4 mil of blood going to the sea, you think it's right near the sea. It's not that. It had to travel 40 mil to get 4 mils worth of blood to the sea.
How long is a mil?
Mil is 2,000 amma, 2,000 footsteps. Okay. Amru shloshmot mochei tinochot matzu al evne echad. They found the brains of 300 babies on one stone. Umatzu shalosh kupot shekutzei tefillin. They found 3 huge boxes of tefillin. Sheteisha teisha sein, that each box had the volume of 9 saw. Ve'yesh umim teisha sheshalosh shalosh sein, etc. Tani Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, we're at the first wide line. Chameshmot batei sofrim ayu bebeitar. Rabban Shimon Gamliel said they had 500 children's yeshivas in Beitar, v'akatan shebeinin pachot mechameshmot tinokot. The smallest one didn't have less than 500 children. So do the math. 500 times 500? 25,000 children. Just children learning. V'ayu umrim, and the children used to say, "Im ba'u asonim aleinu, if the enemies come, v'michtovim alalu anu yotzim aleim umnachim tenem, with our pencils we'll go out and gorge out their eyes," the kids used to say. We're sitting here learning and writing, and if the enemies walk in, we'll go out with our pencils and we'll take them on. וכיוון שגרמו אבונות, and because the sins caused that we lost the war in Beitar, היו כוחים כל אחד ואחד בספרו, the Romans bound each one in the scroll that he was learning, וסופין אותו, and they burnt these children alive, ומכולם לא נשתר אלא אני. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, I'm the only child left from the 25,000. All 24,999 were burnt alive with the scrolls they were learning.
This is the very least, this is the very lowest number it could possibly be.
So, and it's 250,000, not
25,000.
500
times
5,
yeah.
Right, 250,000, right. That makes more sense, right. וקרא על גרמי, איני עוללה לנפשי מכל בנות עירי. כרם גדול היה לאדריאנוס הרשע. אדריאנוס, the wicked one, had a large vineyard. 18 mil al 18 mil, 18 mil by 18 mil, kemin Tveria le Tzipori, like the distance from Tveria to Tzipori. Ve'kifo gadol ma'arugei Beitar. He had his soldiers take the bodies of the dead from Beitar and use the bodies to make a human fence around his vineyard. Melo koma upishut yadayim ve'lo gazar lahem sheyikavru. And Adrianus, throughout his reign, did not allow the bodies to be buried. He had this great vineyard that was surrounded with the bodies, and from the blood of the bodies, the vineyard grew. Ad she'amad melech acher, till a new king arose, gezar lahem sheyikavru. And only the following king allowed for the bodies to be buried. Amar Rav Chona, mi she'nitnu harugei Beitar lekvura, nikva hatov ve'hameitiv. Rav Chona tells us that when the dead of Beitar were permitted to be buried, they established that fourth blessing in benching, the blessing Hatov Amitiv. Hatov Shelo Nisuchu, God is good that he didn't let their bodies rot. It was a miracle after such a long period of time. The bodies didn't rot. Amitiv Shenitnu Lekuvura. And he does good that he allowed us to bury their bodies. Tani Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi tells us the following Tanai quote. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nun Bet Shana Asta Beitar Lachar Chuban Bet Amidash. Beitar lasted for 52 years after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So if the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash was 70 CE, right, the year 70, so Beitar was destroyed the year 122. Velama chova, why did the city of Beitar deserve to be destroyed? Al shedliku nerot la'achar chuban Beit Hamikdash. After the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, they lit candles. They said, okay, we have our city, so Jerusalem is destroyed, but Beitar is still big. We still have a good Jewish city. We have a good place to live. And then the Gemara continues. For those who are interested, you could learn it. But for now, I just want us to understand what was in Beitar. It was the last stronghold, which Rabbi Akiva supported Bar Kochva, and according to what we saw in Rav Shirai Gaon, so did many of the sages think that Bar Kochva would be successful, as he was for 3.5 years against the Romans. Now we saw that we had Beitar being destroyed, we had Shammai and Hillel, and after their passing we said their students had many machlokot, and we mentioned that one of the students of Hillel was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who learned both by Shammai and Hillel. And then we discussed that he had 5 disciples, one of which was Rabbi Eliezer, the famous Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, who were learning Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. You'll remember the story about how he wanted to learn Torah, and his father told him, at 27 years old, you shouldn't be learning Torah, go marry a wife, your kids will learn Torah. And nonetheless, he cried, and he went, and he learned Torah, and he became the great sage Rabbi Eliezer. Now, today we will learn the story of Rabbi Eliezer and Tanur Shel Achnai, because we mentioned that last week. I want to address that this week.
You said that, I don't know, elaborate on the possibility that the Messiah could be somebody that was sinful for sure.
We have a class on the Messiah. We have a class on that dating back to the destruction of Gush Katif. The day after Gush Katif started being destroyed, we had a class on that. I don't remember what the title is, if it's Gush Katif or Messiah, but it should be on the web. If you don't find it, tell me, I'll get you. No, it's not a 1 minute thing. It goes into the Rambam. If a lot of people want it, we'll do it again. I don't mind.
What
was
the class on?
A class on how our sages supported Bar Kochva. What the Mashiach needs to have, what are the criterion for someone being the Mashiach.
Can I make a quick pseudo midrash?
Do you want? Yeah.
This is Babli, right?
Apparently, the one of the reasons why Beitar fell from the account that I read, this is what I kind of got, it was that Bar Kokhba tried to make Beitar the new Yerushalayim.
That we saw an allusion to that here.
All right, well, basically, that's why he was. That's why it didn't work, because he was trying to build a Gadash, basically. Trying to mess with.
Okay.
The divine
sort of, we stopped halfway in the Gemara. The Gemara expands on what was going on in Beitar, what were their sins, but that I didn't think that was important for us today. We're about to read one of the most famous stories in the Talmud. Some of you might be familiar with it. We'll begin with an introduction. The Torah tells us that vessels can become tameh; they can get spiritual impurity, either from a dead person being in the same room, in the same house as a dead person, or by being touched by one of the shmona shratzim, one of the eight species, or in other fashions. Now, a kli can become tameh by being touched. A kli cheres, an earthenware vessel, gets tameh from having something tameh in its airspace, meaning if you hang a sheretz in the airspace of an earthenware vessel, the vessel becomes tameh, even though it didn't touch it. Special law, the Torah tells us that a kli cheres gets tameh from its airspace. On the other hand, if you touch a kli cheres on the outside with something tameh, it does not become tameh, because it has to be in its airspace. That's a law the Torah tells us. Now, how does a kli cheres become tahor? No way. The only way you could purify kli cheres is by breaking it. Now, what happens if you break it and you have one half is a good vessel and the other half is not? Like, you take a cup, you break off half the top half of the cup. So the bottom half you could still use. So the Mishnah says that certain vessels have to be broken down some more in order for them to be unusable, so that they won't have their spiritual impurity, their tumah in them. So the question is, what happens if I take a broken down oven, I broke it into three pieces, I broke it first in half, and then I took the bigger piece and I broke that piece into two. So now there's no more tumah here. And then I want to rebuild it, so then it'll become tameh again. So what I do is I say, okay, I'll put sand in between. I cut it, let's say, what? We'll draw it on the board.
I have an oven, and I want it. It's broken into three pieces, right? I want it to remain the whole, so I put sand in between the three pieces. Think of a roll of toilet paper, right? Or a roll of saran wrap. The cardboard in between. If you want it, you ever unravel it? So you know how it comes out? Comes out like a twirly?
Spiral.
Spiral, right. So instead of a spiral, the spiral has breaks. So you put sand in between each level of the spiral, and then you put tar, you smear it, and now you have a vessel, but it's not a whole vessel again, because you have sand separating in between the parts. The question is, a vessel like that, that's called tanur shel achnai, an oven that's built like a snake, because it's spiraling like a snake, but it's not really attached. So will that get tameh again? So the Gemara discusses the following. We'll begin one line beforehand. The Gemara, you guys don't have this. This is the first side of the page. The verse states, "Ulav." The Gemara says, "Nun tet amud alef." Amar Rabbi Chelvo. Rabbi Chelvo taught us, "Lolam ye adam zir bechvod ishto." A person should always be careful to honor his wife. She'en bracha mitzuya betoch beitos shel adam ela bishvil ishto. The blessing is only found in the house as a result of your wife. You honor your wife, that's where blessing comes to the house from. Shneimaz, the verse states, "Ulavram etiv babuah." Avram got blessing because of Sarah. V'hainu dama l'urav al bnei machoza. Rava used to tell the people of machoza, "Okiru l'nashaychu, give honor to your wives. Kihechi detitatu, that way you'll become wealthy." Tanan hatam. We have the following Tanaic quote. Chatcho chuliot v'natan chol ben chulia l'chuyah. Sorry, we're running out of time. If you cut the oven into spirals and you put sand in between each level, Rabbi Lezer mitaher. Rabbi Lezer says, now this oven is considered pure. V'chachamim mitamin, and our sages say that we look at the spirals as though they're attached, and each spiral is like its own vessel to an extent, and now this vessel can become tameh. This is the oven that's called the oven of Achnai, the oven like a snake.
Wait, a question. Are they saying it is Tahor Tameh, or are they saying it can become Tahor
Tameh? I think it is. I think the question is if it is, not if it can become. I don't remember. I think it's a question of if it is. This is the no, it can become. The question is if it can become. This is the oven that's like a snake. What's a snake? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda quotes the name of Shmuel. Shekifot dvarim ka'achna zu v'timu. They surrounded it like a snake surrounds, coils around something, and they made it impure. Tana, we have a Tana quote. Ba'oto yom, on the day our sages argued whether that should be tahor or tameh, heshiv Rabbi Elazar kol tshuvot shebaolam ve'lo kiblu imenu. Rabbi Elazar brought all the answers in the world and they didn't accept them from him. Amar lehem im halacha kmoti charuv ze yochiach. He said, if the halacha is like me, this carob tree will prove it. Ne'akach charuv mimkumo me'ama. So the carob tree got up and replanted itself 100 amma away, 100 footsteps away. Another opinion says it was 400 amma. They told him that's not a proof. You can't bring a proof from character. Said if the halacha is like me, then the stream of water will prove it. So the stream of water started running backwards. They said you can't bring proof from the stream of water. He said if I'm right, then the walls of the Beis Medrash will prove it. He took Kotlei Beit HaMidrash Lipol. The walls of the Beis Medrash started caving in on them. So they're sitting there in a Beis Medrash, and the walls are about to collapse on them.
And the argument was within 2 seconds or 4 seconds.
Ga'al Bem Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua, who's his contemporary, yelled at the walls, Amar Lehem Im Talmidei Chachamim Natzchim Et Zeh Ba'alacha. He told the walls, if Talmidei Chachamim are fighting in Halacha, Atem Mativchem, what's it your job to interfere? What are you interfering, you walls? Lo naflu mipnei kvodo shel Rabbi Yehoshua. The walls didn't fall out of respect for Rabbi Yehoshua. Velo zachfu, but they didn't straighten out. Mipnei kvodo shel Rabbi Elazar, out of honor to Rabbi Elazar. Vadayin matin v'omdin. They're still over there. You go to that Beis Medrash, you'll see the walls tilted, slanted. Chazav amar lehem, Rabbi Elazar went on to tell them, im halacha kmoti min hashamayim yochichu. The heavens will prove it. Yatzta bat kol v'amah, a heavenly voice came out and said, malachem etzel Rabbi Elazar, what are you doing fighting with Rabbi Elazar, shalacha kmoto v'chol makom? The halacha is like Rabbi Elazar everywhere. A heavenly voice has agreed. After all these miracles, heavens have agreed with Rabbi Elazar. Amad Rabbi Shua raglav v'amah, Rabbi Shua stood on his feet and said, lo b'shamayimi, God, you taught us the Torah is no longer in the heavens. What does that mean? The Torah was already given to the Jewish people at Sinai. We don't listen to the heavenly voice anymore. You already wrote in the Torah. We decide halacha based upon the majority opinion of our sages. You understand what we just read here? This story is telling us that God, so to speak, agreed with Rabbi Eliezer. And the sages said, nonetheless, God, you told us the way to decide halacha is based upon the majority opinion of the sages. And our opinion, after analyzing the facts with the utmost clarity that you gave us, God, is that it's not like Rabbi Elazar, so we shouldn't give in, God. That's what you taught us. Ashkechei Rabbi Natan Eliyahu. So Rabbi Natan met up with Eliyahu. So he asked him, what was God doing at that minute? When God said, I agree with Rabbi Eliezer, and the sages said, yeah, but God, you told us not to go that way. What did God do at that second? And this is where we'll pick up next week. It's time for Ma'ariv.
He left.
We have 5 Ma'ariv? Oh, it's at 7:35? Okay, so we'll read another 2 lines. Amale kachayich, he told them, God smiled. V'amar, and God said, Nitzchuni banai, nitzchuni banai. My sons won me, my sons won me. Amru, they said, Oto ayom eviu kol tarot shetiyeh Rabbi Elazar v'sarfum ba'esh. They brought all the pure things that Rabbi Elazar said, this is pure, even though it went into that oven that should have become defiled according to our sages. V'sarfum ba'esh, and they burnt them, v'nimnu alav u'berchu. And they came to account, and they decided Rabbi Elazar has to be placed in halachic ostracism. Nidui. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer is called Shamuti. One opinion says because he goes with the opinion of Beis Shammai. And one opinion says because Shamuti comes from the word Shamta, which is halachic ostracism. Now why did they do that? Because all the sages agreed one way. You could disagree with the sages, but to try and bring proofs from the heaven and to keep arguing and arguing and arguing when all the sages disagree, well, that was considered improper. Just like, we'll talk later, okay? So they said, who's going to go tell him? Rabbi Akiva said, I'll go, because if someone else goes, he'll destroy the world. Rabbi Akiva got dressed in black clothing, wrapped himself in black clothing, and sat before him a distance of 4 amos, which is how you sit before a person who's in nidui. Rabbi Lezer said to Rabbi Akiva, what's the day different than any other day? So he told him, Rabbi, I think your friends are separating from you. Meaning they've decided you should be ostracized, that you were improper in the way you argued against them. And when Rabbi Lezer heard this, he tore his clothes, took off his shoes, as the halacha says that one who is placed in nidui should do, sat at a distance, sat on the ground, like a person who's in nidui is almost like an avel, and started crying. When he did that, so the world suffered. A third of the dates, a third of the olives, a third of the wheat, a third of the barley, and some say even all the dough that women were kneading at that minute went sour. Any place that Rabbi Lezer looked at got burnt. Rabban Gamliel, who was head of the court that put Rabbi Lezer in ostracism, was coming in a ship, and the sea started going crazy, and he said, it must be because of what we did to Rabbi Lezer. So he stood on his feet and he said, God, you know that I didn't do this for my honor or the honor of my father's house. I did it for your honor, so that there shouldn't be too much machlokas in Am Yisrael. Remember what we were discussing in Igeres Rav Shir Aigon? The point that there started being a lot of machlokas at this generation. So Rabbi Gamliel was instituting, if the majority of the rabbi's opinion is one way, you can't say I'll bring heavenly proofs and go the other way. Rabbi Gamliel saying, God, I did it in your honor. We can't have this. And the sea calmed down. Rabbi Lezer's wife was Rabbi Gamliel's sister. And from that day on, every time Rabbi Lezer was praying, he had to pray alone at home, a person who's in need, he can't go to shul, she'd come and bug him after he finished Shmona Esrei, so he couldn't do Tachanun, because she knew that Tachanun is a very powerful prayer. Now one day she thought that Rosh Chodesh was 2 days, and she didn't realize that it was only 1 day. So she thought, I don't have to bug him. Or another opinion says, how could she not know that? That when he finished Shmona Esrei, there was a poor man at the door, and as she gave him the food, she ran back into the room, and there was Rabbi Lezer doing Tachanun. He had put his head down. And she ran up to him, and she said, get up, you're killing my brother. By the time she finished talking, the horns were blowing that there was a dead man in Rabbi Gamliel's house. Rabbi Gamliel had passed away. So, over here the Gemara says, how did she know? We'll continue this Gemara maybe next week. Think about the implications of this Gemara. This is where we're going to pick up next week. With this Gemara, what are the halachic implications of the argument between our sages and Rabbi Eliezer?